words, amen. Sticks burn brighter when they're together. So even if you come out to a event for a half an hour, just to let your presence be known, to encourage those that are doing it, it is worth it. It's time for all of us to put our hands to the plow, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about honoring God with your life. We believe that we're here to honor God with our life,
right,
to bring Him glory. And Malachi, it's interesting, and I'm not necessarily talking about giving, but he says, you know, if I'm your father, where's my honor?
That's right.
And when it happened, the priests were bringing the lame sheep and things that nobody wanted and gave them to God. God goes, well, you know, you wouldn't even give that to the governor of your place. Why would you do that? See, it's not about the money and the gift. It's about the attitude. Amen. God wants us to honor Him with our life. And I want to give you two things tonight. There's many ways to honor God. But I'm going to look tonight at these two things that if we will reference them, it's like two wings of a plane or a bird. If I want to know I'm honoring God, if I'll use these and keep these two resources in front of me, I will be honoring God. And I don't know about you, but if the Bible marker I'm at, I want to make sure that I end my life, my race, having honored God more than I did at the beginning. Amen. So I'm going to give you two things tonight that I believe, after all the years I've served the Lord, these two things must be in place to honor God. We're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Paul says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The word glory means honor. Do it for the honor of God, that you're honoring Him. Paul is really clear here that his purpose was to honor God. Now, how do you know that before Christ, he wasn't honoring God, even though he thought he was? So sometimes we might think we're honoring God, but maybe we need a little tweak here and there. Amen. David said this, Psalm 26:8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house and the place where your honor dwells. Amen. You know, we should love honor. We should love God so much that we want to be where He is. He said, listen, I love your house. I love where you're honored. And that, isn't that what the local church is for?
Amen.
It's to honor Jesus Christ. Sure, He gets the He uses our gifts and our talents. But the bottom line is, when someone comes into a congregation, is the Lord Jesus Christ honored above everyone and above every program and every spiritual gift? See, that's when the presence of God finds us. God doesn't release His presence and glory if there's a competition between who's going to be the best this or that or the competition in the church. David said, I love where your honor is. I want to be where you are. Amen. How many know that God's looking for a people like that? Amen. Now, I want to just give you the condition of the world. Because, see, the world does not want to honor God. The world honors itself.
Amen.
Not only with selfies, but you know, look what I did, look what I accomplished. Yep. Paul said this, I count all that but rubbish. Nothing wrong with excelling in different at things of the world as long as we lay them down at the feet of Christ. He said this. He said this is the condition of the world that we live in. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God or knew about God, actually in Greek, when they knew about God, how did they know about God? Because the heavens declare who He is. They glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So this is the spirit of the world. They're not going to glorify God. They're not going to glorify God that He's the one that gave them the intelligence. He's the one that gave them the ability to be in the Olympics. He's the one that, now I'm not saying that no one glorifies God. I've seen many people give God the glory. I love it when the NFL, when the Eagles are playing the Cowboys and the Eagles have the winning touchdown and the guy gets down on his knees and points up to God. See, he's glorifying God. Amen?
Amen.
And it'll happen to the Cowboys someday. Amen.
Amen.
After the rapture, amen. They get the new bodies. Anyway, they didn't glorify God. That's the world. They don't glorify Him. Jesus said this, John 5:23, that all men should honor the Son. But how many know not all, everybody honors the Son? How many believe that? Even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. Boy, that's pretty clear, isn't it? That's right now where the rubber meets the road. People say, oh, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. Well, the devils believe and tremble.
Right.
And that's why, you know, he's the rock of offense, because they can't believe that Jesus is the only way. That's the spirit we have in this world. But I want to give you two things tonight. How to know I'm honoring God. I want to give you two elements I have found in my life. These two elements must be in place, because these two elements are different from each other, but yet they make up the same honoring. You know, oxygen actually is made up of two atoms.
Right.
Two. Not just one. The oxygen we have, called the breath of God, is made up, to me, I'm going to liken this to two things. Kindness and courage. I have found out in life, usually a person's personality is more bent towards one or the other. Someone, basically, they're kind when they're young, or they're just courageous, they're going to win the world and destroy the devil. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. But how many don't like this imbalance? I remember in high school, I played football. I was pretty big in football, my size. And those were the days you played both ways, offense and defense. Right tackle, defensive end. Well, I remember this one game I was playing right tackle, and we were a double-A school, and somehow they got mixed up, and they had a triple-A school come to play us. Which means their school was probably double of ours. And I remember running out there and seeing this school, and I knew it's going to be a long game. I mean, it was a long game when you play both ways, tackle. These guys were like Goliath. I'm thinking, and we had to play the game. I guess the only thing was, well, sorry, we made a mistake. And I was thinking, yeah, I'm sorry too. But I remember, after about five plays, we kicked off, they had the ball, they got the first down. These two guys in front of me were like Magellan Gorillas. Literally, and I knew I was going to get it. But they had the ball. These two guys hit me, knocked me down just like that. Fullback ran, got about 25 yards. And I remember, because see, when I was born, I'm kind of the type of guy that's more laid back, more kind, more merciful. Not really just, you know, go after thing. That's who I am anyway. But I remember walking back to the huddle. And I was walking back, trying to get myself together after being creamed into the ground. I remember saying this, let him do it again. And I was like, man, I'm usually not like that. I'm in the huddle, let him do it again. Let him do it again. Let him do it again. And guess what? I got up to the line. When that ball was piked, I hit those two guys, knocked them both down, and I actually, the fullback was running the same run, I actually was screaming, picked him up, and drove him in the ground. They carried him off. And I'm walking back to the huddle going, what was that? And of course, the coach after that wants that every play. Was that courage? I think it was courage, because I had just faced a defeat. Now, I wasn't a Christian then, but I do believe God starts working in us way before we accept Him. Somehow, God gave me the courage to do that. Because it wasn't time for what we call kindness. I didn't go to the line and say, guys, you know, please don't do that again. You know, really, guys, you know, you're nice guys. Let's be kind to each other. You know what? Let's just, honey, you know what? Let's just go out and play some chess or something. There's a time for courage, but there's a time for kindness. Yeah. And I'm convinced that if we're going to fly straight in our Christian life, there's got to be a balance. Because, see, you might be a person of great courage, but you're not kind. And I used to think you might, if you had one, you had the other. But someone of great courage could beat the devil up and go forward, but that doesn't mean they treat people right. And you can be so kind that you let the devil beat you up. You can be so kind you let people manipulate you. So the balance in life, courage, which really is faith that is being processed, and kindness, which is really the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts, are two powerful things because those two things glorify God. Paul said that love is greater than faith. Paul said this. He said it's shed abroad in our hearts. But let me tell you something about kindness first. Kindness has to be expressed. I walk around thinking I'm the kindest person that ever lived. If I don't show it, I might have some. Courage is something that, you know, we all need. Let me tell you, Jesus displayed these two qualities more than any other. Oh, he was kind, merciful, but he's also courageous. Can you imagine going up to the Pharisees and saying to the Pharisees, "You white-walled sepulchers"? That's courage. He said, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now that's courage. That was not kindness, but it doesn't mean he wasn't kind. Because he came to a woman in adultery. Kindness. You see, many times people get a position, they get an authority because people say they're courageous. Yeah, but God's concern, you might have this great courage, but your other wing is kindness. And if you take that and mistreat people under you, you ain't gonna fly straight. And I've seen it happen. You know, we all want positions and promotions, but I tell you what, that's wonderful. You might have the courage and faith, but if you don't take the kindness with you, we will mistreat people. And I'm talking about church. Yep. I've seen it. I've seen the abuse. It wasn't that they didn't have courage, but then I've seen people get positions, and it's all kindness, and they let people manipulate them because they don't have the courage to say, "You know, I don't agree with that. I love and respect, but I don't agree with that, and I can't go against my conscience, so I'm not going to do it." And like I said, most of us lean one way or the other. Let me give you a secret. If you lean towards courageous and you can fight the devil, you're going to win. Amen. Hang around someone who's got kindness processed and learn from them. And if you're so kind and manipulated, hang around someone who's got a little more courage, you see. Because the Bible says no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. That we need each other. I need someone to demonstrate kindness to me beyond what I have. I want someone to demonstrate courage beyond what I have experienced. What you and I have inside is the Word, the Spirit, we have experiences. Courageous. Kindness and courage. See, if I keep these two wings, then whatever I do, God will be honored. God's not honored if I'm so kind I let people manipulate. Because manipulation, when a man manipulates you, they take the place of God. God's not honored if I have so much courage that I can accomplish my goal, but I run people over on the way. Care if I speak in tongues? Care if I'm in the ministry? Listen, let me just tell you something. The more God promotes you and uses you, more narrow is the path for mistreating people. God don't like ugly.
That's right.
People have been hurt. People have been, not just by ministers, people have been hurt by other church folks trying to manipulate them, doing things that they wouldn't even do to their dog anyway. God doesn't like it. He's not going to put up with it. Kindness and courage. Which one do you lean towards and which one needs to grow? Let's talk about kindness. I chose David because David was chased 7 years like a partridge by King Saul. He had every right to become bitter. He had every right to be revengeful and hating. But he said this after Saul died. 2 Samuel 9:1, and David said, "Is there yet any left of the house of Saul that I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He didn't say, "You know what, I'm thinking kind thoughts." He said, "I'm going to show." I'm going to say show. He's going to show something. Saul killed, they killed him, threw spears at him. Kindness is always tested in the atmosphere of disdain. Anybody can be kind to somebody that's kind to them. Can you show kindness in an atmosphere of disdain? David did. And God honored him. How many want God to honor you? When we honor God, he honors us. God will stop promotion. He'll put promotions on the shelf if we're not going to be kind to everybody. And I think that's a problem in the world, and it cannot be among God's people. We cannot show partiality. We can show kindness yet. Look at the kindness of God. Luke 6:35. Love your enemies. Do good and lend. Hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he's kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And once I go to the store, I'll see somebody there with a sign, you know, out of work, whatever. The other day there was a young lady, she had a baby, probably a year old, had a sign there, and I wish I had more, but whatever I had it. Give her, she was so thankful. You know, Jesus said, "Remember the poor."
Amen.
And you know, I don't see. We're so quick to judge. We don't know what happened. Did her husband take off? Did she have a husband? Did she have a boyfriend? He took off when the baby came, which happens a lot. See, kindness has to be in action. And Jesus said, "Don't let your left hand know what your right hand knows. Don't proclaim. Just do it." But he said, "Here," he said. Love. He's kind to the unthankful. Let me tell you something. It is not easy to be kind to someone unthankful. It takes maturity.
Yeah.
How come they're not thankful? How about God the Father, the children of Israel? 400 years in bondage, they're delivered. What were they saying? They had a praise service after they got over there with Miriam. But after that, it went downhill. They weren't thankful. Always be thankful. Keeps the radar on our plane in the right place. So if I'm going to work, if I'm a courageous one, and I need some work on my kindness, I've got to make sure that my wing of kindness, it's not just thinking I'm kind, but being kind. One of the ways you know that your kindness is growing because you begin to develop a hatred for people who are mistreated. Not an apathetic, lukewarm, well, you know, they're mistreated. No, it's like, what? That shows you the kindness is working. People have been mistreated everywhere for everything. It should not be among the people of God. Amen. How about kindness to your brethren? Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Tenderhearted. You see, if you're going to be kind, there's got to be a tenderness about you. There's got to be an approachableness. There's got to be a warmth about you. I mean, if I'm cold, then I'm not going to be kind to somebody. How many believe when we stand before Jesus, he's not going to have shields up and he's not going to be cold and professional? There's going to be a warmth. I say, goodness. Just like magnetic type of love, of warmth and affection towards us. Well, we're supposed to be like him, aren't we? Thank you, Sister Joy. I said, we're supposed to be like him, aren't we?
Amen.
Not just learn the Bible. Not just know where the preacher's going in the sermon. Kindness. Brothers, sisters, all in the family. Amen.
Amen.
Let's talk about courage. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded you? Be strong with good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. We know that Joshua stood in the tent of meeting when Moses went in there to talk to God. And the Bible says that Moses left the tent of meeting, but Joshua stayed. You know, your personal time with God, it's not seen by others but God. But let me tell you, it's no coincidence that God chose Joshua to replace Moses, because he wasn't in this Christian thing just for the name. He wanted God. I said he wanted God. And so when Moses was in there in the glory of God and Moses left, he said, you know what? I don't need to go home and watch TV. I want to stay with you, God. God sees that. And God was processing something in him to take over from the greatest prophet other than Christ. He said, I've commanded you. Be strong and good courage. He said, your strength will come from your courage. Your courage will come from your walk with me. Your walk with me will come from you wanting to have something beyond the temporal things of this life. To reach into another dimension with me and pull my instructions and guidance. That is what you need, Joshua. And I see that that's what you want. And I'm going to make you courageous. Because guess what? Joshua had to fight some enemies. God's with you wherever you go. It's nice to know God's with us. Have you ever been in some situations where your kindness might be there, but your courage was fleeting? Am I the only one? God, I don't know how to face this. I need some courage here. God said, I'm with you. If you're with me, Lord, then I'll have the courage. See, we get discouraged because we feel somewhere God's not with us.
Right.
And those feelings can come because I don't have a balanced life. And if I've mistreated somebody, even if I've thought evil or judged somebody in my heart, I don't have the confidence that God's with me. No matter how much I pray and do all that, there's a blockage between me and God. I don't think I've ever lived in a time when people are against one race, against this, against that, against this ideology, against this. We all have, ideas and expressions, but when we tie people into it and mistreat them, no matter that we disagree, as believers, there's a ceiling.
Yeah.
I said there's a ceiling.
Amen.
And if I'm going to accomplish anything in this life, I have to go beyond the normal Christianity, the Sunday morning only, not seeking God. I've got to go beyond that and reach into a dimension that the world knows nothing about. You see, when I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my words go into another dimension. They're not going to my office. Because the veil's been rent. When I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't understand it, that my words go into another realm where God is. Amen. In fact, he's got files up there that are capture those prayers. Maybe angels take those up to another dimension. If I don't believe that, I'll get tired of praying and I'll get discouraged when I don't see the answer. Job said, he knows the way that I take. But when I come forth, I'm going to come forth as gold. If not, I command you to be strong and good courage. Don't be afraid. See, fear steals courage. Yeah. This pandemic thing has stolen a lot of courage from us. Across the world. We're afraid. Afraid to move on. Afraid to go ahead. I believe in wisdom. I'm not going to let any virus that sits on a slide of a microscope take my courage in God way. Because the things that you and I have faced through the years, the hell, the disappointments, God gave you courage to get up and keep moving. You and I wouldn't be here today if there hadn't been a supernatural deposit of God's courage for you to get up, even if it was a failure on our part, to get up and keep moving. Do you know that was supernatural courage God gave you to get up and face the issue? You don't be dismayed. Dismayed is, I don't know what to do. God is with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your paths. No one obtains a spiritual plane that they don't need to ask God to direct their paths. Until Jesus comes or I cross over Jordan, I'm going to have to ask him to direct my path. And because I know a lot of scriptures and where the prophecies fit and all that, and I know all this great teaching, does not mean that I'm asking God to direct me. Sometimes people get so strong they don't need the Lord anymore. Used to be an altar cry, used to be crying out, used to be staying before God, fasting before God, turning off stuff, watching their words, used to be the passion, but now we're so spiritual, we just kind of float and wait until God comes. Well, we all go through seasons of drought and wilderness, but God gives us the courage to face the day.
Amen.
People of the world are looking for people that have real kindness and real courage. But it's not in ourselves, it's from Jesus Christ. The more you're kind and the more you're courageous, the more your countenance will reflect who Jesus is.
Amen.
Jeremiah 23:6, be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that was written in the book of the law of Moses, Joshua 23:6, so that you don't turn to the side or the right or to the left. This is really cool. Because if I'm going to honor God, I need to honor the one that helped me and mentored me. Joshua said, be very courageous to keep what's written in the book. He could have just stopped there. But he mentioned Moses. You see, honoring who you're supposed to honor puts you in a position for God to honor you. I've always honored my bishops, my pastors. I can't imagine what I'd do without them today. People have said things, criticized, left, go ahead. I'm going to honor. And I realize this, when you don't honor who you're supposed to honor, you take it for granted. Then you become critical. But that person is not always going to be there. So he acknowledged Moses. Keep what Moses wrote. Not what I wrote. Keep what Moses wrote. He's honoring that legacy. Don't turn to the right or the left. Aren't you glad? glad that God so worked in Joshua that he was like, okay, Moses is dead. Here I am. I'm the next celebrity prophet and preacher. Send me your money. I'll send you a man. I'll send you some oil. You don't get the anointing. You don't get the anointing because you said $1,000 and somebody sent you a vial of oil. You're not going to get the anointing. You're going to get oil on your head. And you're not going to get the anointing because they got some water from Jordan and you poured it over you and now you're the next prophet. That is wrong. That is the wrong use of the gospel. That is charlatanism. And I don't agree with it. Period. And I don't agree with sending $100 in to get a prophecy from someone called the prophet either. False prophet. That's not a prophet. We've got to wake up this hour. Amen.
Amen.
He said, I'm honoring Moses because he helped me. Amen. So as we close, we all go one side or the other. We're all more courageous. Yeah, you're just known for your good. Or kind. You're just good. But the balance makes us fly straight. I know through the years, because I tend to be more of the kind. I know I've had people manipulate. People that I thought would never manipulate. And I've learned that it's not humility. It's not having the right concept of who God is in my life. Why would God send me to Russia with more of a kindness than and have a soldier come up to my face ready to kill me? Because God said, I'm going to complete the work. At that moment, courage came out to say, love is stronger than hate. Again, kindness is love in action. Courage is faith. And trust in God is demonstrated by a passionate desire to fulfill the will of God and bring glory to Him. You know, there's some things in life you don't need courage. I don't need courage to go to the grocery store. I don't need kindness if I'm paying my bills. Sending them in the mail. But we need kindness and courage because we have an inner walking with people in this world. Church people. And I'm saying. And when you're in a relationship, you have to have both of those elements. So as we stand on our feet tonight, I'm just going to take a moment and we're all just going to think. I have the courage to think down, and sometimes I mistreat people, even people I love. I might have the kindness down, but I let people manipulate me. And no more. The Lord says, no more. That's not what He wants for His children. And if you and I will decide to honor God in a new capacity, He will work with us so we fly straight. So we fly, finish the course. That's you tonight. Just lift your hands up to your Heavenly Father. We just praise you tonight, Lord God. We pray to honor you. We can't honor you if we're not kind. We can't honor you if we use our courage and our boldness to mistreat others. So we pray tonight. Help us to fly straight in life. Life is so short. Here and gone. Times are in your hand. What we must do quickly for the glory of God. Help us tonight. Represent you as the church of the body of Christ. Help us go beyond the normal Christianity and tap into something in another dimension that will we can bring back here to solve the ills of the world and so many widows. Help this congregation, help us to have the face of Jesus Christ on when we come in here. Having examined our own soul, the candle of the Lord, the Spirit of God. We thank you tonight and we praise you. And we give you the glory, the honor, for we ask it in the name.